The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. I thought I'd go with a psalm that everybody will know at the same time. 90% of us will definitely know, if not all of us. And I can speak directly to Phil. And at the same time, it can be directly for each and every one of us. Because the Bible starts off with, the Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. David was the man that writ this psalm. He was a shepherd boy. We see that he would later on become king. And so it makes sense to take a figure out of the Bible that would lead a people. Seems as that's why we're here today. Phil is going to lead a people forward. But what does David say? He says, the Lord is my shepherd. And I think that's key. Because the Lord is my shepherd. In the time, Phil, when you're pastoring, there are going to be moments in your ministry when you're going to need to know the Lord is my shepherd. At the same time, for each and every one of us in this room today, as we go through life, there are times when we need to know the Lord is my shepherd. Our relationship with Jesus is the most key thing in life. At the end of the day, the Bible says there are two roads. There is one that leads to death, away from Christ. And there is one that leads to Christ, that leads to life. In this world, there are only two roads. There is the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. There is no gray area. There is no middle ground. It simply is that. We are at war. The kingdom of light against the kingdom of darkness. Some people, maybe if there's non-believers in the room, they might think, I'm a wacky, crazy Christian that's talking and spouting off a whole load of gibberish. Well, I'm not, but you may still think that. You may think I'm arrogant, but when you know the truth, you can't help but want to share the truth with people. Why? Because I was once lost and now I'm found. Every single one of us in this room has a testimony that follows Jesus. There was a moment when we walked the road that didn't lead to Christ. And then there was that moment of whether it was conviction or whether it was a road to Damascus, a bright light, and God appeared and showed himself to us in whatever context, whatever way. And then we said, the Lord is my shepherd. In that moment, when the Lord became that person's shepherd, everything changed. Like, it is life and death. You don't want to stand before the living God without being able to say, the Lord is my shepherd. The truth is, one thing I can promise to all of us, I'm not prophesying doom over anyone, but one thing I can tell you is bad times will come in all of our lives. Some of you are a bit further on, well, majority of you are a bit further on in life than me. So you'll probably be able to say, Aaron, I know more than you know. So you will know what I'm saying. Bad times come to us all. And one thing that definitely comes to us all is we will breathe our last. There will come a day when we will breathe no more. But for the Christian, the Bible says, absent from the body, present with the Lord. So he's the God of the living, not the God of the dead. And that's why it's so important to be able to say the Lord is my shepherd, not just for that moment, but for moments in life when tough times come. I want to be able to say the Lord is my shepherd. How do you think Reuben has got through the last season? He's had to say the Lord is my shepherd every time Leicester fail again. The Lord is my shepherd. Phil's doesn't mind because he's a Nottingham Forest fan. So he's just passing over like, yeah, dig my son all you like. We just won today. We're 5 points clear. The Lord is my shepherd. Let me not leave you with a question. I've not finished yet. I was given half hour. Let me make sure you leave with one question. Is the Lord my shepherd? Is he your shepherd? If you can say yes, well, I'll meet you up there. But if you can say yes, you're going in the right direction. There's only two roads. If you cannot say the Lord is my shepherd, let me encourage you. Let me strongly encourage you to go seek. Go prove me wrong. If you think my Bible's fake, if you think it's false, go prove me wrong. Because I promise you, the more you try to prove it wrong, the more you'll find it is gold. It is truth. There's no getting away from it. And that's why I confidently say, go try prove me wrong. Because the Bible says, if you seek me with all your heart, you'll find me. And so I know it's so important for all of us. If God is real, then it is important that we go looking for this God. Because if God created the heavens and the earth, as we sang, if he creates all these things, it's so important that we, his creation, understand why and what he's wanting to do. Well, what he's wanting to do right from the beginning is relationship. Relationship. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. Phil's going to need to know that in moments in his ministry. I lack nothing. I lack nothing. Why? Because my Father owns a cattle on a thousand hill, as the Bible says. It's a confidence, not in himself, not in the church, not in even the members of the church. His confidence must always be in Christ. I preached Philippians chapter 3 this morning, and Paul constantly said, I rejoice in the Lord. In prison, he writ this letter, and 16 times he writes the word rejoice. He can rejoice in the Lord. Why? Because the Lord is his shepherd. I don't know if I mentioned that, but that bit's important. The Lord is my shepherd. You need to be able to say that. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. You know, a shepherd knows what the sheep need. And in the same way, sometimes, especially ministers, and I can imagine this is going to be key for Phil as well, sometimes we don't know when to rest. But the shepherd knows when we should rest. That's why it's important. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. When our strength is down, people, we need it renewed. We really need it renewed in this life, this world that we live in today. The world will come at you from many different angles. You can get a right hook just from life. You're walking well and your health is perfect. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, a doctor's report comes and tells you news that you didn't want to hear. And your strength is zapped from you in a moment. But if you can say the Lord is my shepherd, if you've got that tattooed on your heart, if you've got that just in your DNA, you know Blackpool Rock, when you break it in half all the way through, Blackpool Rock. If you snap me in half, it says the Lord is my shepherd all the way through. Can you say that of yourself? If I snap you in half, it's going to hurt, but can you say the Lord is my shepherd? The Lord is my shepherd. Because there's times when the world hits us hard. It hits us with a right hook, follows up with a left jab, and it stuns us. It stops us in our tracks. There are moments for all of us where we will need to renew our strength. And something for us all, as well as for ministers, is when we have these great victories, be aware, in those moments, you're at your most vulnerable. When you've had a great victory, it's like Elijah on Mount Carmel. He's just defeated the Baal prophets. Everything's going great. And then in the next season of his life, he's running away from a woman called Jezebel. He's running away into a cave where he becomes suicidal. And Lord, just take me. It's better if I die. He's just defeated the Baal prophets. He's just had the greatest victory where God poured fire down from heaven in front of everyone. Talk about God showing up for someone. And then in the next breath, he's running scared. That's life. That's me and you. One moment, we're on top of the world. Great victory. 10 years ago, Leicester City won the Premier League. In the next season, they're relegated to League One. It's horrible times. Even when I walk through, I should have done that with the even when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death bit. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. I love this part of the passage because even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Remember when Peter was walking on water, he stepped out of the boat. It was an incredible miracle that took place. Peter walking on water when Jesus says, come to me. Any of the disciples could have got out of the boat, but it was Peter, man of faith, and he suffered with hand, foot and mouth disease. He always put his foot in his mouth. But Peter steps out of the boat and starts to walk to Jesus. He's walking on water when all of a sudden the Bible says that he sees the wind and the waves, and it's like he takes his eyes off Jesus. And in that moment, he begins to sink. When you take your eyes off Jesus in life, it is easy to sink. But the next part of that passage, it says, immediately Jesus stretched out his hand. Immediately Jesus stretched out his hand. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. When you're close to Jesus, in an instant, you can feel that. Immediately he stretched out his hand. If your relationship is Jesus is over there and you're all the way over there, immediately might not be so quick. It might not be. There's a bit of a distance. It's important to stay close to Christ in our walk. It's important to walk next to him on a daily basis. It's important to choose Jesus every day. It's important to say, not my will, but your will be done. When Peter stepped out of the boat, walked on water and began to sink, I remember one thing in the book of John. At the end, when Jesus had been resurrected, when he died on the cross, resurrected, he's on the beach and he sees a boat, and Peter's on the boat, and Peter goes, is that my Lord and Savior? He goes, it is. And he jumps off the boat and swims back to shore. Peter's a good swimmer, a really good swimmer. So why is he sinking in this moment? And it's simply because even the best Christian, even the greatest swimmer, when you take your eyes off Jesus, when you take your eyes off Jesus, even the best swimmer can sink. But there's another miracle to this story, because Jesus, in the next passage, when immediately he grabs him by the hand, lifts him up, the next part of the story is they've got to get back into the boat, haven't they? They can't just stand in the middle of the sea like, this was awkward. What to do now, Jesus? No, they get back on the boat. So, well, we know the boat was over there. We know that Peter walked on water, so he walked away from the boat. Then we know that he sinks. Then we know that Jesus picks him back up. Well, the boat is not right next to them, so there's another moment where surely, Bible doesn't say this, so I'm kind of adding it. You know the blank pages in your Bible? You'll find it there. I've added it. And so we've got this bit where now surely Peter must have walked on water again. Peter must have walked on water a second time. In life, sometimes Jesus will make us walk back over the place where we sank before. Sometimes we go around a mountain and we keep going round it and we're like, why do I keep going around the same mountain? Well, until you pass the test, I think we keep going around that same mountain. It's called maturity. Maturity for the body of Christ. When we sink, we get back up, yeah? But sometimes God will cause us to walk back over that ground. Every single one of us in the room, what we're called as Christians, if you're a follower of Jesus, isn't to stay still. It's to walk forward, to mature in your faith, to grow in your faith. Phil is going to become the minister here. There's going to be a whole lot of growing up. Not that he's immature. I think he's already quite a mature guy. But he's going to see new things. He's going to feel a weight that he never felt before. There's going to be a heavier weight. Those shoulders are going to grow. That skin's going to get thicker. All these things, it's going to be part of how God develops and grows him. But in the same for each and every one of us, wherever we are in our walk, the same kind of thing must happen in us for us to move forward. Why? Because we're followers of Jesus. In the beginning, it was called followers of the way. That was what Christians were called, followers of the way. And remember that the gospel, the kingdom of God, is forcefully advancing. We're not standing still. We're not going backwards. We're forcefully advancing. The armor of God in Ephesians 6. Every part of the body is covered apart from the back. Why? Soldiers don't turn their back and run in another direction. Soldiers stand forward and go forward. And it's the same with the church. And in this area, that's what I proclaim and pray for Earl Shelton, that it stands up and it stands and moves forward in greater measure. I know they already do great work here, but I think it's significant that now God has, if you like, chosen his man, called his man and said, you're going to lead the church. You're going to take them forward. Now, some of you might say he's been doing that really alongside the leaders for the last I don't know how many years. But there's something about this moment today that is significant, where there's the laying on of hands and then there's the Phil is the minister here at Earl Shelton. It's going to be a special time for both Phil, for Beth, even Reuben and their, well, all their family, really. It's a family thing. It's not just Phil. It requires the family. It requires the wife. They say behind every good man is an even better woman. It's not always the case. In my case, now my wife is definitely my better half. Just. So verse 5, it says, you prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. My prayer for Earl Shelton is that your cup overflows with blessings. For Phil, his family, the church, the leaders, the congregation, everyone connected to the hub, everyone connected to the things that take place here, that there's an overflowing, that these blessings just overflow. Why? Because we're ambassadors of Christ. And when we're people that say, the Lord is my shepherd, it means we're representing Christ. We're representing him. We're taking forward the gospel. And so why wouldn't we want that blessing to overflow, fill this place up and fill over into the streets, into the community? Why? Because we got this saving news, this saving grace, that Jesus is the way, he's the truth and he's the life, and there's no other way. He's the only way. I know what it was to not know Jesus, and I know what it is to know Jesus. I'm passionate about telling people that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Even if you sit there and you're like, I wish he'd shut up. It doesn't matter, because in this moment I was given a slot of time and I get to say whatever I want, basically. I'm telling you, it's worth seeking. You may have had bad experience in church. You may be sick and tired of church. You may have a partner that goes to church and you don't go to church. There could be many different contexts in this room. All I'm saying is, look, one day you're going to breathe your last. Don't let pride stop you from seeking. And you might say, oh, there's no pride in me. Oh, maybe there's not. Maybe there is. Anyway, don't let anything stop you from seeking. If I'm correct, and Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and the very things that are spoken in the Bible are true, if I'm correct, you've got everything to gain and nothing to lose. If I'm wrong, which I'm not, but just in case, if I was wrong, you've got nothing to lose still, really, have you? But I know what it is to live my life not being able to say that first verse. I know what it was like. And I know what it's like for hundreds and thousands of others that I've met, encountered, talked to, what it was like for them not being able to say that first verse. But now they can say that first verse. And I know what their life is like now. And I know the fulfillment, the joy, the peace, that missing part of the puzzle. The moment they can say, the Lord is my shepherd, the puzzle all fits together. The final verses in 6, it says, surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. For those that can say, the Lord is my shepherd, one day we're going to die. So, kills the conversation, that does, doesn't it? One day we're going to breathe our last. But we've got nothing to fear. We've got nothing to worry. I remember a man that had cancer. And he wrote a letter to his family and friends. Christian man. He wrote a letter to his family and friends. He was dying. Terminal cancer. And on it, he said, come watch how a Christian man dies. Come watch how a Christian man says goodbye to this world. A celebration. When we have funerals for the believer, we celebrate them back in my hometown. We celebrate their death. We celebrate. Why? Because they're rejoicing. They're on those streets of gold, if you like. There's nothing for them to fear. When you know Jesus as Lord and Savior, when you can say the Lord is my shepherd, there's a peace that passes all understanding. There's a security. There's an assurance. The blessed hope. There's got to be more to life than this. That was the question I once asked myself. When I was a drug addict, when I was going in the wrong direction, I asked myself a question. There's got to be more to life than this. My daughter had just died. I'd become suicidal. And I thought, where do the dead go? What happens? There's got to be more to life than this. That's the importance of this day today. Because there's people out there that are asking the same question. There's got to be more to life than this. There's got to be more to life than this. They might not even know they're asking that question yet. But there's going to come a time when they ask that question. And Neil Shilton's going to be ready to answer that question.